You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, going on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline once again to bring in Ross Tucker, the host of the Ross Tucker Podcast and the host of the Morning Kickoff on SiriusXM NFL Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL, and of course his podcast available at RossTucker.com. Ross, how you doing today?
Fellas, I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing very well. Rumors flying one day away from the 2015 NFL draft. Of course, the Browns linked to a lot of those rumors, including both first-round picks, probably something else, to get up to number two for Marcus Mariota. What do you think of that trade, that deal, if you are the Cleveland Browns?
I kind of like it. You know, I mean, I'm a believer that if you don't have a quarterback, you got to keep swinging until you get one. I know that there's other positions that they'd like to get a receiver or they'd like to get a defensive lineman or whatever. But if you've got that kind of conviction and you feel that strongly about Marcus Mariota, then why not? You know, obviously the Titans, if they like Mettenberger enough, then they might be willing to part with the number two pick. So I like it. We'll see whether or not it happens. I'm sure you guys are loving it, giving you stuff to talk about. I have no idea, by the way, fellas, none whatsoever, why the Tennessee Titans would deny that. Like, what are they thinking? What value do you get out of denying that? I wouldn't say anything.
Right, let it drive the price up.
We've already been offered two first-round picks. I mean, it's the latest evidence in my mind that the Tennessee Titans have no idea what they're doing. Why you would deny that defies all logic in the history of the galaxy. And I'm glad there's no Titans fans listening because they're doomed.
Ross, I love that. Let me ask you, and all the guests you've had on the Ross Tucker Podcast, I know you talk to Greg Cosell a lot, is the sense that Marcus Mariota is that level of quarterback, that he is that much of a sure thing, can't miss franchise quarterback?
Well, I don't think that people have used the word surefire or can't miss or those type of things, because I think people recognize that there is some risk in terms of how you design the offense and how he translates into that offense. But if you look at it, you know, even if you hear guys like John Gruden who have looked at it a lot, there's a lot to like with Mariota. I mean, I don't know if you guys have heard me say it, but I'm on Team Mariota as far as Mariota or Winston. I mean, I thought Gruden made some good points. He's a better decision-maker on the field, better decision-maker off the field. And if all you know what breaks loose, he's way, way more athletic and faster than Winston is. I mean, to me, I think if you can't move the football with what Marcus Mariota brings to the table, that, to me, is as much on coaching as it would be on him at that point.
So. Yeah, yes, it absolutely would. Hey, Ross, the three wide receivers that top tier, Amari Cooper, Kevin White, and Devontae Parker, are on the board. You mentioned the Cleveland Browns have that need at wide receiver. If all three of those guys are gone prior to number 12 and wide receivers, you know, the direction the Browns want to go, who in that next tier is a guy at 12 that you think could catch the eye of the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I think the guy that would probably catch their eye the most at that point then would be Breshad Perriman from Central Florida. And they might be rolling the dice if they try to see if he's still there at 19. The only thing I would say about that, though, is even if you don't take him at 12, let's say you take Danny Shelton or somebody else, Andrews P., I don't know, whoever, right? Let's say you take somebody else, even if Perriman's not there at 19, there's still going to be a pretty darn good wide receiver available at 19. Some of the other guys that you mentioned, I mean, there are teams that say there's 6, 7, 8 guys. I know Chris Collinsworth said he thinks there's 9, 10 guys that are first-round quality. So while Perriman might get plucked, there would be somebody else at that position that you'd really feel good about. I don't know if you'd feel the same about an interior defensive lineman or a running back, or whatever other position that the Browns might consider at 12.
Speaking of the interior defensive lineman, Danny Shelton's been linked to the Browns. What is your take on him? How dominant can he be, and what can he bring to a defense?
Well, he's very, very good against the run. I mean, he just ragdolled and manhandled offensive linemen watching his tape, which was pretty fun. I think he gives you more pass rush than people give him credit for. And I also think, you know, there's something to be said for a guy with the power. So maybe he's not rushing every time you're in nickel or stuff, but if you only put him in that situation a handful of times a game and say, hey, Danny, just bull rush that guy to push the pocket for Mingo, for Kruger. You know, I think everybody's looking for the inside guy like Gerald McCoy, Geno Atkins, that's going to make a move and get by a guy. You know, Sue gets a lot of his stuff based on power. And I think what we're looking for more from those guys a lot of times is just pushing the pocket back so the quarterback can't step up. I think Danny provides more pass rush productivity than people realize, even though pushing the center of the guard back 4 yards isn't going to get you a pressure or hit on a quarterback. That still really helps the scheme of the defense.
It definitely does, and a pass rusher may be something the Cleveland Browns are in the market for. And I just like your take on, you know, of course, the arrest of Shane Ray, and where do you think, how far will he fall, the Randy Gregory positive test, and then also, too, just how you rank the Bud Dupree's and the Fowlers and Vic Beasley. Where do you have those guys going, and could you see any of those be on the radar for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I love Fowler. I think most people do. I think he's the best of the bunch. After that, I like Shane Ray. Shane Ray is absolutely relentless. I mean, he's one of those guys, Matt, that it's like, even if he doesn't become an elite pass rusher, he's going to be able to give you 7 to 9 sacks, 6 to 8 sacks, just based upon effort and relentlessness. And there's a lot of value in those guys. In other
words,
even if he doesn't become a star, he's a guy that's a great part of a 3-man rotation with Kruger and Mingo flying around making plays if he's healthy and all that. Beasley, I think, has the best first step, but there's too many plays, and maybe he was just trying to make sure he stayed healthy. There's too many plays where he wasn't getting down and dirty for me. And maybe he's that good, but I don't know, man. I was kind of a blue-collar guy, so were you. I'll take the guy with the nonstop motor.
Yep.
Over the guy whose motor is a little iffy any day of the week.
Absolutely.
Russ, the Browns have been linked to offensive line, something you know quite a bit about for a while now. I think that their line's in good shape. I'm interested to see what they have in Michael Bowie, who they plucked from Seattle a year ago coming off of his shoulder surgery. How important is adding somebody at that spot to this team? And is it, given the fact that your starting line is pretty good, is that a wasted pick in the first round this season?
Well, I think that they might disagree with you and have some concerns about right tackle.
Sure.
But I'm not sure I think it's worth taking a guy in the first round there. I mean, with what their run defense was last year, with the issues they've had at the quarterback position, I just can't imagine that they would take an offensive lineman at 12 or 19. It's possible, and that guy will start at right tackle. Let's say it's Andrews Pete, and maybe when Joe's done, bump over to left. And look, they got 2 first-round picks, so maybe one of them, they go that route. But I just think that there are other positions where they could get more value and maybe get an offensive tackle to compete in the second round, because there's a bunch of decent ones out there.
Ross, before we let you go, you know, the Cleveland Browns were not very active in that first week of free agency, but they hit the streets hard in that second week. And I just like your overall take on the adding the veteran leadership and the playmakers and the right guys to this culture here in Cleveland to again, continue to trend upward as a franchise.
Well, I think what's happened is that, you know, Mike Pettine and other places he's been, I think he's had some success with those guys. And I think he realizes that, you know, they didn't need to go and spend a ton of money. They kind of did that last year, you know, to get Dante Whitner, to get Dansby, to get some of the guys that they got last year. I don't think they felt like they needed to go that route. They just wanted to supplement it a little bit. Plus, they knew they had 2 first-round picks with which to work as well. And I think that they've realized, especially after what happened with Gilbert and Manziel, that having the right kind of guys is vitally important. That's the one thing I think has continued to grow and expand every year in the NFL. More and more teams realizing that part of it is so important, to get guys that are a right fit. And I think no team probably realizes that more after last year than the Cleveland Browns.
That's why we hear all the play like a Brown stuff, those characteristics. Ross, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking the time, folks. Check out his podcast, the Ross Tucker Podcast. You can get it at rostucker.com. Of course, you can hear him on the SiriusXM NFL Radio Morning Kickoff Show and follow him on Twitter at RossTuckerNFL. I agree with you about Tennessee. Any negotiating school will tell you if you've got something out there, utilize that to drive up your price. Don't deny it.
Makes absolutely no sense, Nathan. There's no logic. It's like instant natural reaction, I guess, for them to just deny if it wasn't true. But think it through first. Let's use some logic. Want people to know that.
That's right. You have much to gain. Ross, enjoy the draft and appreciate your time as always.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks, all right, Ross. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up here. Final thoughts on this Wednesday edition before Matt and I head to Chicago, the Windy City, for the 2015 NFL Draft. And, of course, a live edition of Cleveland Browns Daily tomorrow at the Red Ivy Bar on North Clark Street from 12 to 2 local time there in Chicago. Your final thoughts, last time for tweets, calls, et cetera, 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.